Give us your peace, the peace that the world cannot give. And move us to love and obey Christ as his children. We pray this for his name's sake. Amen. Well, today's the day of Pentecost. It's 50 days after Jesus' resurrection from the dead, 10 days after his ascension from heaven. And today we come to the third person of the Holy Trinity, the Holy Spirit. Before his ascension, Jesus told his disciples to wait in Jerusalem until the gift promised by the Father had been poured out, the Holy Spirit. And on that first day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit, the Father poured out the Spirit on Jesus' disciples in Jerusalem. And the Apostle Peter said that, sorry, I am going to need a drink. Okay, let's try again. The Apostle Peter said that the Holy Spirit was not just for those first disciples, that first Pentecost, but for all whom God calls, all who turn to Christ in repentance and faith. And so this morning we are going to consider the person and work of the Holy Spirit for our time together during this sermon. But we're also in a sermon series called Habits of the Heart, practices to commune with God and transform your life. We've been working through that acronym WORSHIP. And a couple of weeks ago, we had like a little detour where we heard about fasting, which was lots of fun. But today we are up to O. We've done W, we're up to O now for openness, practices that let the light in. It is, in fact, through the Holy Spirit that we commune with God, through the power of the Holy Spirit that we are transformed. And the particular practice or spiritual habit that we are going to explore today is called the examine. So a word of to those of you who are here who perhaps might not call yourselves Christians or not quite sure where you stand, the Holy Spirit is the key to the Christian faith. I have lots of conversations with people about what Christians believe and how to live a good life. But without the Spirit, all Christian teaching is just empty ideas and rules. It is dead. The Spirit is God's presence and power. He's God at work in the world, moving among us. Even in our hearts, he's the breath of life, the wind that moves us, the fire that transforms us, the love that enfolds us. Sometimes he shows up in extraordinary ways, but mostly he is a still, small voice, whispering gently, moving unseen. His invitation is for you and me to pay attention. He is here with us right now. He speaks through the pages of Scripture. And I'm always conscious that when I speak, certainly when I'm preaching, I do so in his presence and I want to honor him. But as I speak, I am praying that it wouldn't be me who you hear, but him speaking to each one of us, actually. That he would unblock our ears, open our eyes, soften our hearts, so that we would taste God's love and be transformed. So it's in and through and by the Holy Spirit that we commune with God and we're transformed. And we're going to have a look at each of those in turn. In John chapter 14, Jesus says that he will not leave us as orphans, but will ask the Father to give us the Spirit. He says that for those who love him and keep his commands, my Father will love them and we will come to them and make our home with them. So how is it that we'll not be orphans? Because Jesus and the Father will come and make their home with us. How do the Father and the Son do this? By the Spirit, the gift of the Father. The Spirit is, in fact, the presence of God with us. He's our advocate and help and he will be with us forever. In Romans 8, in the space of a few words, Paul refers to the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, and even Christ. That is to say, the Spirit is the Spirit of the Father and of the Son, such that where he is, so the Father and the Son are also. And where does Paul say that the Spirit is? In you, living in you, in those who believe. This is why in 1 Corinthians, St. Paul says that our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit. That's the incredible dignity that God bestows upon each one of us. Even you, with all your imperfections of your failing body that you see in the mirror each day, nothing less than a temple where the true and living God who made you and who loves you delights to dwell. Magnificent, isn't it? What dignity to each one of us in these weak and frail bodies. And Paul goes on to pick up Jesus' promise that he'll not leave us as orphans. Paul says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him, that's the Spirit, we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. God gives his Holy Spirit to all who trust in Christ. It is through the Holy Spirit that we are adopted as God's children. We are able to participate, to share in the very life and relationship of the eternal Son with the Father. The Holy Spirit speaks to our spirit. He speaks to us on the very deepest level of our being, that we are children of God. Well, this truth that in Christ we are God's children, holy, dearly loved, is, I have to say, I think a bit impossible for us to grasp. I wonder whether you, perhaps a bit like me, maybe that's your experience, that we hear the words of others, the words of our own hearts rising up to attack and condemn us. You're not worthy. You're not good enough. You've done too much. God couldn't possibly love you. Well, this is why I think Paul prays for power in Ephesians chapter 3. This is what his prayer is to the church in Ephesus and to you and me here in this church, St. George's. I pray that out of his glorious riches, the Father may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all God's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. What an incredible prayer. Our hearts are too small to contain the infinite God. We're not strong enough to grasp just how much God loves us. Our hands are too impure to touch the holy fire of his being. When Isaiah had a vision of God, he was undone and cried, woe is me, I'm ruined. I'm a man of unclean lips. I live amongst the people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord God Almighty. But then an angel took some tongs and took a burning coal from the altar and touched Isaiah's mouth with it and said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for. Well, Christ himself has offered himself as the sacrifice for our sin upon the altar of the cross. He has atoned for our sins. But now it's not the angel, but the Holy Spirit himself, the burning coal of God's holy presence, who comes and touches not our lips, but our very hearts. And so Paul prays. He prays for the Spirit's power, the power that we need for Christ to live in our weak hearts. And he prays for the Spirit's power that we might grasp the love of Christ and so be filled to all the fullness of God. See, we cannot take hold of this holy fire. Even the angel used tongues. Only the Spirit of God himself can. But that is what he does. He comes and makes his home in our hearts, in your heart and mine, so that in the strength of his almighty power, we might know the infinite love of God, how high and wide and long and deep is God's love for us in Christ. Well, when you know that love, when you're touched by that fire, then your heart is warmed to love and obey him in return. Then the impurities of your life start to burn away. And so Paul can write in Galatians, so I say, walk by the Spirit and you'll not gratify the desires of the flesh. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. And I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. And against such things, there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. That's the Spirit's work to transform us, to help us put to death those things of the flesh and to grow in the fruit of the Spirit. What a beautiful picture. It's as we commune with God by the Spirit that he will transform us to be like Christ, to shine his light and life. Okay, so I've got a little bit carried away meditating on the person of the Spirit. I hope you've been a little bit enthused for who he is and the fact that he's with us, with you, in you now, the living fire of God's presence. But let's get a little bit practical. It's the Spirit who's always there, always at work, gently, if only we would notice him. And our focus today in terms of the habits of the heart is openness, practices that let the light in. Psalm 27 speaks of a life that's open to God. David says the singular focus of his life is to be in God's presence. It's the deepest longing of his heart. He doesn't let the turmoil of life around him, threats from without, anxieties from within, get in the way or crowd God out. How often does that happen for us? He comes back again and again to God. My heart says of you, seek his face, your face, Lord, I will seek. And the fruit of his search is a rich feast. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. And I will remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Take heart and wait for the Lord. Your face, Lord, I will seek. That's to open ourselves to the Holy Spirit. So how can we seek the face of the Lord? What can we do each day to be doing that? There is, of course, prayer itself, and in a sense, all different spiritual disciplines are forms of prayer. But what I wanted to look at today is a particular one called the examine. So what is the examine? Well, it's a practice that invites us to reflect on our day prayerfully in the presence of God. I'm going to talk about it as something you can do at the end of each day, but you could also do a weekly examine looking at the week, or maybe a month, maybe each season of the year, or a whole year. Anyway, here we go. So at the end of the day, before you go to bed, maybe in a comfy chair or before you switch off the light, come to God in a moment of prayer. Begin by welcoming God's presence, inviting the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, to lead you into his truth. And then you come to the examine proper. Basically, it is two questions that can be asked in different forms. So I'm going to give you them in a few different forms here. So here we go. So two questions. What am I grateful for today? And what was hard today? Really simple. You could put it like this. What was the most life-giving part of my day? And what was the most life-thwarting part of my day? Or where was I living out the fruit of the Spirit? And where was there an absence of the fruit of the Spirit? And you can spend some time reflecting on those two questions. And those things for which you are grateful, well, thank God for them. This is where God has shown up in your day. Thank him for his gifts. This is where he's been at work in your life. Those things which were life-thwarting, you can ask, how did I respond to them? Why did I react that way? What am I holding on to that I need to let go of so that I can display the fruit of the Spirit that this circumstance required? What do I need to perhaps confess? For example, sometimes you'd be amazed to know I get frustrated with my kids, especially when they don't do what I've asked them to do and I snap at them. But my impatience normally at that point is more about my desire to be in control and my own frustrations at myself about not getting through enough of my daily to-do list. It's not about them. I've got to confess. Ask God to give me patience, to help me be self-controlled, kind, and gentle. And, you know, sometimes I need to go confess to them as well. The examine is a way to notice where the Spirit is at work through the day. As you pray the examine each night, your spiritual senses become more attuned to where God is at work. You begin to notice the Spirit more throughout the day. You may stop and give thanks or pray as you notice the Spirit in the day. A few weeks ago, I was really struggling to kind of one morning to bring my scattered thoughts together. I was just all over the place. It was horrible. Anyway, I got a text message. There's a guy who'd come to the church. He wanted to come inside. I popped over here and I ended up sitting with him for an hour, hearing his story, being able to pray with him. And as I reflected afterwards, I realized, actually, this is what the Spirit wanted me to do, to be available for this man. The examine is also a simple way to teach your kids to be open to the presence of God and your grandchildren. When you pray with your kids at night, and I hope you do, we try to make it our practice. Don't always quite manage, but we keep working at it because God loves us to keep coming back to him. So when you pray with your kids at night, you can ask them to say what they're thankful for in the day, maybe what was hard for them in the day, and then you can pray about that. Dear Father, thank you for whatever it was. Dear Father, this was hard, but I thank you that you're with me. You help me get through it. The examine is also a great way to pay attention to your own heart, to help you understand and reflect on yourself, to see perhaps patterns of thought and behavior, good and bad, to see where you're living according to the flesh, to use Paul's words, to notice where you need to repent, what you need to hand over to God so that you can walk in step with the Spirit. And finally, the examine is a way to end your day in prayer. When you come to bed, the events of the day, the conversations may be buzzing around in your head and it's hard to get to sleep. The examine is a way to pray through your day, to hand it over to God so that you can rest in his peace. You can finish the examine with a prayer. Psalm 4 is a psalm designed to be read at the end of the day, and it finishes with these words that you might like to use as a prayer. In peace, I will lie down and sleep. For you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. It's pretty good, isn't it? Or perhaps if you're into the Book of Common Prayer, you could pray this prayer for the evening. Lighten our darkness, Lord, we pray. And in your great mercy, defend us from all perils and dangers of this night. For the love of your only Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Why don't we pray? Gracious Father, we give you great thanks and praise that you have answered the prayer of your Son, poured out your Holy Spirit upon us. What incredible privilege and dignity that you give to come and live in our bodies, to live in our hearts. We pray with Paul for power by your Spirit to be able to grasp even just a little of your love for us, that we may taste and see that you're good, be filled to the measure, the fullness of God. Father, please touch us with your holy fire of your love. And as we taste and see, burn away all that's impure in our lives. Help us to walk in step with the Spirit, to seek you each day, to be open to his presence, to notice and recognize where you're at work, and to turn away from all that doesn't lead to godliness, to a life of obedience. Help us to walk as your children. We thank you that Jesus has not left us as orphans, but you have come by your Spirit. So help us to live as your children, shining as lights in this dark world. We ask this for your name's sake. Amen.